Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Aleph, Mubayis, presents a halacha that seems to be a very broad and sweeping right of any litigant, and that is, the Gemara says, when Shnayim were Nis'atzmu B'din, two people were fighting over which court to take their case to, and one of them is victorious, and we choose his court, and the other one keeps on protesting, so we go to that court. However, the one who protested is entitled, at the conclusion of the case, if he loses, to ask the court to write down, Mi eze ta'am dantuni, for what reason did you judge me? And the court is obligated to write down for what reason they judged him and to give it to him. And the Ran, the Chidushi Haran, explains that the reason to think that the court should not be obligated to do this is because it's a zilzol for the Beis Din. It's an embarrassment, it's a cheapening of the Beis Din's position, because essentially this person, by asking Beis Din for writing down their reasons, is accusing the Beis Din of being partial, of being biased, of being unobjective, of issuing him a psak which is not in accordance with the psak that should be issued. And therefore, for Beis Din to acquiesce to such a request is essentially an admission that there of a potential of falsehood in their psak, of a potential of incorrectness. And that is a tremendous busha, a tremendous embarrassment for Beis Din. And in general, there are many halachos which are designed in order to prevent Beis Din from being embarrassed, both because there's a mitzvah for people to be in awe of the Beis Din, and any embarrassment that Beis Din suffers is a diminishment of this awe. And second of all, because Beis Din is charged with ensuring that halacha is carried out properly amongst Klal Yisrael, and in order to do that, they need authority, they need respect of the people, and any erosion of that respect, for example, by an acquiescence, you know, even however implicitly, to an accusation of falsehood, erodes and undermines the authority that Beis Din needs in order to accomplish its purpose. Nevertheless, in this case, it seems that the Baal Din is entitled to receive a written account of Beis Din's reasons for issuing a judgment against him. And naturally, because of the issues involved, there is a debate about the scope of this right of the Baal Din. Most Rishonim hold that it's a very limited right, namely that each of the Baal Din essentially have a right to choose which Beis Din their case will be tried in. And they're supposed to come to an agreement. That's how the parak began. Ze borer lo echad, veze borer lo echad. They're supposed to choose a court mutually. However, under some circumstances, if they cannot come to an agreement on what court, there are certain rules for how to decide where to be judged. And those rules, depends. Malve, versus Lobe, the Malve has priority. Under some cases, a bigger Beis Din or a super Beis Din will have priority over a smaller Beis Din, a local Beis Din will have priority over a faraway Beis Din, among other calculations. And therefore, we basically have a way of taking every case to court. If the litigants can agree where to go, then good. And if they can't agree where to go, so then there's a system, a hierarchy, in which certain Bati Din receive priority. And it's only in such a case where the litigants do not agree about where to go, where one of the litigants wants to go to a different Beis Din, for sure, for reasons, because he believes that the bigger Beis Din, is more likely to issue an objective and unbiased psak, and perhaps even if he wants to go to the other Beis Din for reasons of convenience, only under such circumstances, writes Tosfos, is he entitled to receive a written record of why this Beis Din judged him. In other words, it's only because he originally wanted to go to a different Beis Din that he's entitled to receive this written record so that he can ask that Beis Din that he wanted to go to for a second opinion, and therefore his rights as a litigant are satisfied. And it's only his rights as a litigant, says Tosfos, that give him the right to be mezalzel and to degrade and erode the authority of Beis Din in this manner. However, other Rishonim say that no, based on a Gemara in Bava Metzia, and they argue that a litigant is always entitled to receive a written record of why the judgment was issued against him, regardless of whether he initially insisted on going to a different Beis Din, or whether he was perfectly happy going to this Beis Din. One way or another, he's entitled to receive a written record of why he was judged, in order that he should be able to ask for a second opinion. Fascinating machlokes. This whole machlokes applies, according to some Rishonim, only in the time of the Gemara. The Ran brings down two opinions about whether it applies nowadays. Essentially, what's going on here is as follows. The Gemara mentions that the dispute that we're discussing is when one Baal Din says, I want the Beis Din in my city, and the other Baal Din says, I want to go to the Beis Havad, the house of gathering, the house of meeting. What exactly is a Beis Havad? So some Rishonim go as far as to say the Beis Havad is the Sanhedrin HaGadol. It's a Beis Din in the Lishkas HaGazis in the Beis HaMikdash, which is the supreme court of all of Klal Yisrael. And others say that that's not the case. A Beis Havad simply means a bigger court, a court which is more universally acknowledged to be great or greatest in terms of wisdom, in terms of impartiality, etc. And this is a Beis Havad. The question is, again, assuming for the moment that this right of the Baal Din can only be exercised in a case where he insisted, I want to go to the Beis Havad. So what about nowadays? Do we have the equivalent of a Beis Havad nowadays, or do we not have such an equivalent? So the Ran brings down two opinions. One opinion seems to say that there is an equivalent of a Beis Havad nowadays. There is still such a thing as a Beis Din which is universally acknowledged to be at a higher level than all the other Batei Din in the area, and therefore the litigant in a smaller Beis Din can say, write down your reasons and I'm going to ask a second opinion from the Beis Havad of our time, of our age. However, the other opinion would say that that's not true, that there is no Beis Havad nowadays, there is no single Beis Din, again, and we're talking in the times of the Ran, which is the 14th century, the place of the Ran, which was Svarad, probably. But one way or another, the Ran says, the other opinion says, there is no Beis Havad nowadays, there is no Beis Din which is universally acknowledged to be superior to all the other Batei Din, and therefore, the Baal Din is not entitled to ask for their decision in writing, because who's he going to ask for a second opinion? There's no greater court than any other court. One might explain this machlokes a little bit differently. It's not so much a matter of whether a Beis Havad exists nowadays or whether a Beis Havad does not exist nowadays, but rather it's a matter of how one defines a Beis Havad. What characteristic of this Beis Havad gave it the special status that the Baal Din is allowed to insist of this court that they give him the opportunity to ask the Beis Havad for a second opinion? One might explain that it's the universal acknowledgement of the Beis Havad as being a superior court. And in that case, perhaps, though it would not exist nowadays or in the time of the Ran, because as the Bach, let's say, and others, right, in other contexts, there is much less universal acknowledgement about a hierarchy amongst Talmidei Chachamim nowadays than there was in the times of the Gemara. The Bach writes, and in the days of the Gemara, so there was such a thing as a Gadol Hadar, as a person who was acknowledged to be the greatest scholar of the entire generation, and this Gadol Hadar was entitled to get the first Aliyah even before a Kohen. Nowadays, the Poskim note that we don't give anybody, even a tremendous Talmid Chacham, we don't give him an Aliyah before a Kohen. As a little aside, I should mention that I've heard that in the shul of Rebbe Ovadia Yosef, Rebbe Ovadia Yosef does always receive the first Aliyah, and a Kohen does not receive the first Aliyah. However, they send all the Kohanim out of shul. So that way Rebbe Ovadia is called up Yisrael Bimkom Kohen, but he's very makbid that no Kohen should receive an Aliyah before him, because the Gemara says that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on account of Talmidei Chachamim who were mochel on this halacha that they're supposed to receive the first aliyah. But coming back to our issue, basically, one might argue that universal acknowledgement of a single court as superior does not exist nowadays, and therefore, if the defining characteristic of a Beis Havad is this universal acknowledgement, perhaps it does not exist nowadays. However, if you understand that the defining characteristic of the Beis Havad is the fact that this litigant views it as being a superior court, then certainly it exists at any time in any place, because any litigant can claim, I view this other court as being greater and superior to the court where I'm being forced to judge. And therefore, certainly the litigant can say, this for me is a Beis Havad. Or perhaps it depends on whether this beis din, this court, acknowledges that it's superior. There may not be universal acknowledgement that the other court is superior, but as long as this court acknowledges truthfully that some other court is superior to it, the litigant is entitled to ask them to write their opinion so that they can take it to this other court and get a second opinion. However, it should be noted that this may be limited, this machlokes about how to define the Beis Havad may be limited to this particular issue of the litigant asking or demanding of the court in which he's forced to judge to write down their opinion. However, when it comes to the discussion of whether the malve can force the love to go to a Beis Havad or not, so there it could be that more Rishonim will agree that there certainly is a Beis Havad nowadays. And when one need not have universal acknowledgement, one might be able to have, you know, majority acknowledgement or some other, you know, or the Beis Din's acknowledgement would be sufficient. In other words, what would emerge is an interesting discrepancy. That is, that in terms of the Malve forcing the Love to abandon or forsake the local Beis Din and instead go to a superior Beis Din, there we are more liberal in defining what a superior Beis Din is. And it's only when it comes, you know, against the issue of zilzul of this Beis Din, of eroding the authority of this Beis Din, or of failing to uphold the awe of this Beis Din, there we'll have a much more narrow definition of what's considered a Beis Havad, and that's why some Rishonim would be able to say that this Beis Din is not obligated to write down their reasons unless there is a universally, objectively acknowledged superior court to be, that's going to be asked for a second opinion.